Hello and welcome to the We Are Birmingham podcast. I'm Chris Golding.
And I'm producer Dave.
We're holding the fort for Matthew again, who's he's still continuing his, what do you call it, sabbatical?
Hiatus, something like
hiatus.
That.
Hiatus, yeah. So, how are we doing? How are we doing, mate? You okay?
Yeah, good. Yourself?
I'm okay, thanks. Tired legs, tired body, tired everything.
Tired mind.
Yeah. Not one, do you know what? My mind is the only thing that's actually, I think, benefit. Well, no, obviously my health's going to be benefiting from it as well. It's all going to be improving from the running. But yeah, I'm...
Week two now, isn't it?
We're into week two, yeah. And it's getting a little bit tougher. And next week gets really tough. So next week, I think I'm going to be absolutely gasping by the end of there. By the end of the week.
You've been doing the same routes, or you've been like varying it up?
I've been doing the same route every day, but getting a little bit, so it's a long straight road and getting a little bit further each day as the intervals, running intervals increase. Oh. But then I did do park run on Saturday just to mix it up.
Well, just think, you know, towards the end of the month, you'll get to find out what's at the end of your very long straight road.
I drive down there sometimes, so I know what's down there.
Oh, you've ruined it already.
Yeah, but when I get to start running 5K, then I'll be going round, turning off before I get up that road. So there's a nice little route that two laps of it is 5K, so I'll be changing. Anything interesting with you? Anything vegan?
No running, no, barely walking. No, you know, I'm not sure I've done anything of note in the last 7 days, to be honest. I'm desperately trying to think, and I'm not sure, no.
just make something up. Say you've done a parachute jump or something.
No, never jumped out of a plane. No, not really on my list of things to do either.
It's on mine. It's on mine.
After the running.
Yeah.
This is the Blues sponsored parachute jumping.
Yeah, that's the next one. While we're on that as well, I should probably just say, not on the parachuting, on the running, I should probably just say thank you again to everyone who's voted. Voted? Thanks for everyone who's voted for me. Thanks to everyone who has sponsored me for the run. And thank you to everyone who sponsored in general the whole campaign. It really is a fantastic cause. If you want to sponsor me, you can do by going to wablink.uk/brum-run.
Lovely. And we'll check in with you next week or when we next record to see how the training's going.
Yeah, we'll catch up. I'll be like running like shit off a shovel next time that we talk, guaranteed.
Brilliant. Right, before we get on to the obvious, shall we have a quick catch up about Watford?
Yeah, obviously the big news is the managerial news, but we'll come on to that after touching on Watford for what that's worth. I mean, we somehow managed, we've lost a couple of 0-0s, 1-0 the last couple of games, and somehow we managed to lose a 2-0 win, 1-0. I don't understand it. That's like, I think we've just created that many opportunities, created two really good chances with the Miyoshi one and the Sunjic one that really won't fall into any other player at that situation, but it just seems like our players at times just have a phobia of hitting the target.
I think what we can say is it was a vast improvement on the way that we'd been playing in previous games.
It was. It, massively, and you could... I actually feel a little bit sorry for Mark Venus in that, because he'd been taking a lot of stick as the number two who'd taken over from Mowbray. And I feel a bit sorry for him because Mowbray had to deal with the same type of performances a number of times. But he's a manager and he knows the answers afterwards. He knows how to deal with the players. He knows how to deal with the press. He knows how to deal with the fans. Venus had never, he's not been a manager, maybe never wanted to be a manager. He's quite happy being a number two. And I think we said this last week. I feel sorry for him that he's faced with that performance and then he's got to have all the answers as for why that's happened, why it's been that way. Now, obviously, that leads on to the management situation. And they've obviously made a decision based on that result, or it seems like it, unless they've waited for the international break, which I can't imagine that they would have just gone, oh yeah, the international break's there. I would imagine that is results-based. And I understand why they've had to make that change, why they've maybe felt like they needed to. It's difficult for a manager to deal with those performances when it's not scoring goals, you're dominating games and not scoring goals. I mean, the Watford game, I mean, did we have something like 20 odd shots? I haven't got the stats in front of me, but I think we had 20 odd shots. And it wasn't through a lack of possession or a lack of creative opportunities, because we created openings, but we didn't create many chances. And I can see the frustration. You get into good situations, you waste the ball. And that, I mean, I thought we played well at Watford, as well as we had been playing before we played well against Ipswich to an extent. We played well against Southampton to an extent, other than defensively. And ultimately, what's cost us in the Watford game was we didn't take any of our chances or create more good chances. And then it's one lapse of concentration in defensive possession, which has killed us again. And it's just massively frustrating. I can understand why they've made that change, but I don't think we played badly, and that's the frustrating thing. When you continually play all right, get nothing out of games, and you slide down into a situation that we're in now.
I think it was something like 26 shots and 4 on target at the Watford game, which at least is going in the right direction compared to the 2 predecessors.
But it's a lack of quality in those shots. It's a lack of decision making, a lack of quality in the final third, and a lack of intelligence at times. To have that shows that there are opportunities there. I think we'd had a fair few in the first half as well. We're wasting a lot of chances. We're wasting a lot of not even chances, sometimes opportunities to create chances. Instead of creating a good opportunity, we're wasting the ball and missing the target with a wild shot. And it's just decision making in that final third. And it goes back. You look at the Middlesbrough game, we had shots but none on target. You look at that was fucking dreadful as well. You look at Millwall, we set up in a completely different, seemed to just abandon the style. The system had one shot on target. So the two games prior to Watford, we had one shot on target in both games.
So what do you think? You know, is this, you know, we've clearly got players that can score. We've clearly got players that can run, you know, at defensive lines. So what do we need to do to basically convert that? Is that down to training? Is it down to confidence? What do you,
I think an element of it must be training, because you go through repetitive situations on the training pitch. If you're just getting into situations and just lashing at opportunities, rather than if you're 1-0 down and you've got a square pass that you can make and someone's got a tap in, and instead of taking that, you're taking the shot on from a stupid angle, you're wasting a good opening to create a clear cut chance. Just because of pure bad decision making.
So who within the club then do you think should be guiding the players on maybe that decision making?
We haven't really got an attacking coach, have we, at the moment?
So you think that's...
I don't know. When we had James Beattie there, it got the best out of Che Adams at the time. So were we missing someone like that? I don't know. Or It's a tough one. Without seeing training day in, day out, it's a difficult one to comment on. But we're now going to completely tear up the playbook and it goes out the window, doesn't it? We're going to try and create things in a completely different way.
Are you partying like it's 2016?
No. No. I find it frustrating as a fan, to be honest with you, because we sacked John Eustace earlier in the season because we wanted to play this no fear football that was mentioned. When that was explained, it was a possession based football with passes in the final third, dominating possession in the final third, creating good opportunities, all these stats that make you into a team that can fight for promotion. We went through the Rooney experiment, got Tony Mowbray in, we started playing better. The games that we should have won, we didn't. And the Venus has just, like we said, gone through exactly the same against Watford. And we're now bringing in a manager, in my opinion, who doesn't play the type of football that the owners are envisioning and that they desire that we play.
But, you know, with so few games left of the season, does that kind of desire and that kind of aspirational football essentially go out of the window?
Straight out the window.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
the situation that we're in now, it's all about getting points on the board. But that for me makes everything that's gone on throughout the rest of the season so frustrating. Because it was avoidable, I think.
Do you think he can do the job? Do you think he'll do the job? I mean, you know, the response I've seen online has been overwhelmingly positive to bringing an interim in and also Rowett being that person.
It was the right thing to do to bring somebody in. Yes, I think it was. I think Mark Venus, more than anyone, was probably struggling with the job that he had on his hands. And I think we mentioned that last week. Do I think Gary Rowett's the man for the job? I'll get behind him again as Blues manager. I think a lot of different players than we've been seeing will be having an opportunity. I think the playing style is going to completely change. So get ready to have your Sonjic's playing most weeks, possibly plays for Gary Gardner as well. I mean, Dembele's probably going to come back into the fold, I would think, when his injury's fixed, healed, when he's fixed. I think that had it not been for the injuries to Duke, which I think might actually see him out for the season now, because it didn't look a good one. It looked like a bad knee injury.
Yeah, we couldn't quite see because that was your end, wasn't it?
Right in front of us. It was the top. I think any other player would have been stretchered off with it. But I think Duke was like, no, I'm not dead. I'm walking off this pitch. And fair play to him. But that it didn't look good. I would suggest that that's probably a season ender for him. So otherwise, I think we'd see him in. Could we see the return of Scott Hogan? We saw him on Saturday briefly. That briefly came on for Duke. Could we see Gary Rowett make use of him? Maybe George Hall getting a few starts under Rowett. To offer that counter attack. I think that we'll just try to be solid ultimately. And I don't know if we've got the. When he was here before, he had a cheaply put together side. But they were battlers. They were men who would go out there and scrap to get the job done. We haven't got an awful lot of them in this squad. and a lot of the squad are leaving. So is their mindset completely different to what it would be if they had 2-year contracts, 3-year contracts? We're in a scrap, absolutely in a scrap. I'll support him 100%. And I saw a lot of negative things about Paul Robinson coming in. Regardless of what you think of him, if Gary Rowett has said, I want him to come in with me, I want these guys, you have to give them the opportunity. If you start saying to Gary Rowett, you can't bring your own people in, then he's got excuses for why he can't save us. Let him bring in who he wants to bring in. He's got no excuses. I'm not positive, but it's not really based on Rowett. I'm not sure that we've got a squad that benefits him. Can he get us hard to beat? Quite possibly. Can he get us wins? I'm not sure. I can see that we might create less opportunities to miss, which ultimately is where we've been at a little bit, wasting chances.
I mean, well, at least, you know, we've got this international break where he can spend a bit of time with the players and at least formulate, you know, his plan ahead of QPR.
Yeah, you mentioned the international break. We obviously want to hope that Stansfield and Paik come back unscathed from their international trips, because the last thing that we need at the moment is to be losing any of the quality that we've got in the squad and leaving us even shorter. And then hopefully, I'm not sure how far down the line Bielik is into his recovery. We were a bit concerned that we might not see him again this season with the type of injury that it was. But maybe if he can get back fit for after the international break, that adds another bit of solidity to the back, as well as offering us a bit of composure with the ball. So I don't know. 15 second opinions.
Yeah, let's see. Let's see what people think to Rowett returning.
15 second opinion.
All right, lads. Okay, first things first. Really sad about Tony. Get well soon, Tony. All the best. Second thing, I'm over the moon with Rowett coming back. Kind of feels a little bit like unfinished business. And on another note, I think I just want a couple of seasons of calm. I don't think I want to keep trying this failure of new manager, new tactics, new way, promotion. It's not working. I think we need to go back to the drawing board and maybe start again. I don't know. Who knows? No one knows. Cheers, chaps.
Hi there, guys. It's Alex Early from Sutton Coldfield. Quite pleased about Rowett coming in. I said before, I think we're going to be okay, and I think this sort of just makes me even more sure we're going to be okay. He'll do a job. He knows what it's about. He's a good leader, get us organised, and all the cliches that we already know about. I think my sort of overarching observation is that I know the situation with Tony Mowbray can't be helped at all, and obviously, you know, we all want to see him back on the touchline next season. But I think we have to remark that it's been an absolute shit show, hasn't it? From the moment the decision was taken about Eustace and Rooney, we have been flapping around like a goldfish in a schoolboy's pocket. There's no strategy there. Everything's being done on the hoof. And it worries me. It's not how a well-run football club operates. Now, I know that these owners are still relatively new, and I don't begrudge them what's happened. They've come in, they've got a hell of a lot to sort out, and they're doing a really, really good job overall. But we've got to learn from this. We've got to have a better strategy and better contingency planning, and possibly better people making the decisions. Obviously, Gary Cook has dropped a massive bollock with Rooney, and that needs to be addressed. I'm not saying he should go, but it needs to be addressed. And the other question I'll put out there, and I do have a bit of an axe to grind with him, is what's Craig Gardner been doing? You know, how's he still on some sort of pedestal? Because he's director of football, and I still don't see how everybody rates him so highly. I think questions have got to be asked about him as well. Anyway, that's about 15 minutes, not 15 seconds, so I'll stop. Cheers, fellas. Bye-bye.
Afternoon, lads. Now, I know the right appointment is going to divide people. Some people are not going to be happy at all with the change of play. But for me, the team might be sleepwalking towards relegation. It's nice to see that the owners aren't. They've done something. Let's see how it plays out.
Hi, Matt here. So here's my opinion. Might be a bit controversial, but I don't actually mind if we get relegated this season. It's pretty much what I wanted to happen since 2013, as I thought it would be the only way to get rid of the previous owners. And it would be, yeah, be a big shame if it happened now under Knighthead, as they're doing so many great things off the pitch. But if we go down, it could be the making of us. It could galvanise the club. And if the ticketing is right, it could lead to more engaged fans and possibly a bigger crowd should it all go well. I mean, that is the one proviso, though. We'd need to go up in the first season with 103 points or something stupid like that. But it's blue, so that might not happen. But anyway, that's my opinion. Don't mind if we go down. It could be pretty fun, new grounds, and yeah, we can have fun with it. Cheers, lads. Bye.
Hi, lads. Firstly, just want to send my best wishes to Tony Mowbray. Hopefully, we'll see him back next season, healthier than ever, ready to lead us again. Obviously, thanks to Mark Venus as well for trying to lead us during this difficult time. And welcome back to Mr. Gary Rowett. Football is a funny game, but it is a sensible appointment in many ways. I wasn't overly struck on having an interim manager, but I think we expected a few more points under Venus than what we actually achieved. So Rowett knows the league well. He's got experience. He'll strip it all back and simplify it, and hopefully we can get the few wins that we need to stay in the Championship and start the real rebuild in the summer. Keep right on.
All right, lads. You know, first things first, something's a bigger than football. There's been a lot of speculation over recent weeks, but I'm sure we're all united, wishing Mowbray all the best, whatever's happened, whether he comes back or not. You know, I was originally against the interim appointment, but I think you're living on another planet if you thought that Venus was going to turn it around. We've got a very different manager now in Rowett. Very different in terms of style. Probably isn't going to put his arm around the players in the same way that Mowbray did. Anyway, on to two big games. Forget UB40. Let's hope Rowett's brought his WD40 so he can lubricate this team and get a few wins.
And also, I know you're not supposed to do two, but fuck the rules. I think Gary Rowett's a little bit hard done by. He's had some good players at teams and he's had to work on restricted budgets quite a lot. You know, I'd take that Fleming from Millwall every day of the week. In fact, there's quite a few Millwall players that he's brought in that I would take in a heartbeat. So let's see what he can do with this squad. Maybe let's not write it off straight away.
There's some really good points in there, and there's a lot of contrasting opinions again. I think the first sort of place to pick up on is obviously Mr. Mowbray's health is first and foremost. Obviously, we're wishing him well. I know that he did get the voice messages that we sent a few weeks back, and they were really appreciated. Of course, the plan is, I think, to get him healthy, get him match fit, as they'd say in football, and get him back in the dugout for that. That was what the announcement that was put out said. I think that's the plan. As far as I'm aware, that's what their goal is for the start of next season. I know there are some outlets that are reporting otherwise, and that he might not come back, and there's no intention of it, and that Rowett might get it next season. I don't believe that that's the case. I believe that the statement that was put out is what the club believe right now. Obviously, things can change between now and then in terms of health and everything else. But yeah, I think that that's what they believe currently. There was a guy on there who said about not wanting to replace managers and get into that cycle. I think as things are standing at the moment, we haven't replaced anyone. They haven't sacked Mowbray. It's not like we've binned him off. The plan is to bring him back in. So I'm hoping personally that story is far from closed with Mowbray. I mean, I hope that we get to see him in the dugout for Blues next season. What else was there?
There was the embracing relegation, which I disagree with completely. I was at a League One ground working this week, and it's bleak. I don't want to go back there.
Under the previous owners, I would have said, yeah, give it a go. Go for it. But how fucking typical Blues would it be that we've had these shit owners for years that have scraped it and scraped it and scraped it and avoided it? And the year that things start looking up and that they've got everything's looking nice at the stadium and they're doing all the right things, saying everything right, that it's the season that we drop. And obviously, it brings into contention the one point of changing manager and was it needed. Everything else, everything off the pitch has been spot on. The steps that they've been making at Blues have been amazing. It's just this one, that one thing. I believe that one change has dropped us in this shit. I don't think that, I think that if we'd have kept where we were, that we wouldn't be in this situation now, but it's hypothetical. We made the change. If we can avoid the drop and we've got Tony Mowbray in the dugout next season, then I think we'll be in a better place. I don't want to see us go down. And the reason is, and I think it was mentioned in that 15-second opinion, that the one thing would be you have to get out of it.
Oh, the difficulty, yeah, around. The difficulty of getting back. You know, when you look at that
it is fucking difficult.
Yeah.
I absolutely think, yeah, do you know what? If you could guarantee it was for one season, then maybe it would be a laugh. Maybe going to some of the different grounds would be quite fun. But there's no guarantee of that, and it's difficult to get out. It's not a given.
Yeah.
So it's not for me.
No. And then you start, you know, thinking about what any owner's long-term future may be of a League One club. You know, Knighthead came in as a Championship club and with the aspirations of taking that in one direction. And you don't want to know what anyone's long-term plans may be if that is going the wrong way. So, no, I don't think anyone wants to see League One, really.
No. Other things, Gary Cook was mentioned there, a bit of criticism again. I think that we're doing some great stuff away from the football pitch. There's one decision that has gone tits up. He's earned himself a lot of gravitas with that, with everything else that he's done. One decision shouldn't make or break him at Blues. And his connections and everything else in football are worth way more than one decision. Yes, by all means, take it on board. Make sure that we're not in the situation again where we make a silly decision that affects us like this. Always have it there as a, you've done this, but move on and allow him to move on. He's going to be shitting it more than anyone right now. He's got to be. But we can't keep holding it over his head. I think Gardner was mentioned with the transfer situation. I personally think that with the, at the start of this season, everyone said that it was the best transfer window that we've had in years. I think on the budget that we've had, I mean, he's done an okay job. I was critical before that we were going to, and I think Matthew was as well, that using the same agent and using the same contacts again and again. But then you look back over the last couple of years, we signed Chong, sold him for a profit, trusty on loan last season, player of the season. Then there was this season we've had Ethan Laird, who, yes, injuries have been an issue, but he's been fantastic. Lee Buchanan is fantastic. There are Bielik is another one that if he can stay injury free, great signing. So, yes, there's Pake, who's come in, everyone thinks he's class. Jay Stansfield on loan. We've done some good business. I think, yes, we've neglected the striker situation. But this season, we're looking ahead. We spoke about this a few weeks ago, I think. We're looking forward. Next season, we've got this clean slate with regards to FFP. Don't buy a striker now. And yes, the situation at the weekend where we're missing opportunities and missing chances, it looks stupid. But we don't create them chances if we haven't bought some of the players in that we've bought in. So it swings and roundabouts. I'd rather be creating chances and expecting professional footballers to be able to score them than not creating them at all.
Other things from 15 second opinions? UB40, have you pre-ordered your 12-inch limited vinyl? Because I haven't.
I haven't. I'm not a massive UB40 fan. I like a few of the songs to jig away to, but
song about,
I'm not a massive fan.
About drinking wine in a kitchen, something like that. I don't really mind.
Yeah, and Red Red Rats, is it? But
still intrigued to see how they're going to do that, you know?
So I think the plan is a stage set up on the Gilmerick between the home and away fans, where the divide is normally. Pre-set up stage, so that will be there for the whole of the game. And then you have to sit in your seat and watch them.
It's going to be a long way for you.
We're going to see like ants the other side of the stadium. I'm not sure it's been thought through amazingly well for how it's going to work. I mean, personally, I'd think at full time, lay a load of boards over the pitch and allow people to go onto the pitch.
NFL halftime style.
Pretty much, not too far off that. If we lose to Preston, are we going to see about, you see UB20 playing to about, I don't know, like 2,000 people?
Be fucking awkward if everyone just cleared off, wouldn't it?
But I can see it at the moment. And I mean, the ticket sales aren't going amazing at the moment. Obviously, we want people to go out, buy tickets, support the team, like not for the concert. Support the team. But it's one of these things where I can see where they were thinking about it, but they've just, it's maybe slightly off where we need to be. Anyway, I love the WD-40 comment, by the way. I hope Gary Rowett's bought his WD-40. And the other thing that stood out in there was thanks to Mark Venus for trying. And he's obviously, you can tell he's tried his hardest. He's clearly been affected by his mate being ill and standing in for him, done his best job. It hasn't worked out. And I don't think it's massively on him. I think there's probably an element of him not having the same motivational skills as Tony Mowbray or the same man management skills. But it's not on him. He's give it his best go. He's not a manager. Massive thanks to him for trying. I was one of the people who said, I don't think we need an interim manager. Now I think that they've probably done it at the right time.
Yeah, I think it became clear that we did. And I think, as we might have said before we started recording, I think they probably knew that they were probably going to be in this situation and started looking, you know, when it became clear that Tony was going to be off for a while.
Yeah, I'm sure they probably had that backup plan up their sleeve. And I think Gary Rowett had offered his services anyway. I think he'd done that on Sky. So the other thing was probably the talk about Rowett's style of play. And I think I mentioned that before. I'm not sure what we're gonna see, what he's gonna get. I think we'll see a change in players, change in playing squad as much as he can, to mix it up and just try and get the best out of the team. I think that's all that you can do. Now, obviously, because there's no games to look forward to at the weekend, because it's the international break, it's a bit of a short one for us, isn't it?
Yep.
But next weekend, obviously bank holiday weekend, Easter weekend.
Yeah.
Easter.
Yeah.
We've got the two games, the Friday and the Monday. So we're going to try and get back next week if we can. Probably be another, quite a short one if there's any updates to discuss. I think Gary Rowett will probably have had his first reveal by Blues TV and whatever by then. So we'll have a little bit of what he has to say and then a look at the QPR and Preston games that are coming up over that weekend. But yeah, let's hope that things behind the scenes start working out a little bit over the next couple of weeks, eh?
Absolutely. And also, you know, that those Blues players heading off to international duty.
Yeah.
Firstly, enjoy that and come back safely.
Yeah, please don't get injured. Please don't get injured. Right, until next time, enjoy the international break. Put your feet up. Just enjoy the fact that we can't lose this weekend. We can't lose. That's the main thing. So until next time, keep right on.
Keep right on.